In Recorder liegt das neue Band von Willy. Jeder fährt auf Rad, nur hinten auf der letzten Bahn die Stillen. Da bin schon mal auf der Autobahn. Sind wir zu Hause viele Jahre lang. Was uns anhört, ist ja euch nur das Schein. Und viele fahren mich in den Tag hinein. Viele fahren mich in den Tag hinein.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellon.
Hello.
And you join us here at the Merkur Arena here in Düsseldorf, the beautiful city of Düsseldorf, where we're watching Fortuna play Werder Bremen. And currently, halfway through the second half, they're 2-1 up.
Oh, hi, Graham.
Who's the big danger man for you, though?
Well, I mean, I think it's Karaman who is the big danger man. But I think that Luca Bacchio, the number 20 who for Fortuna, the way he keeps getting fouled suggests to me that the Bremen have identified him as the danger man.
It's interesting, when he's on the wing, but his most potent plays have been right down the centre.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, neither side's playing a 4-4-2 here. These guys have got their starting positions, and this guy's out on the wing. But I mean,
he wants to come in all the time.
Yeah, but he's always coming in. I mean, he's doing it right now as we speak. He's going in. Yeah. And I think David Klaassen is basically looking at him, saying, "I'm going to kick the shit out of you in a moment." So the moment he gets the ball,
I love the
but
way
it's great. His movement is superb.
So they maintain their width the whole time. It's incredible. Number 20 is a real attack and threat for them. And I think that's why he's drawing so many fouls. But it just takes for a lapse in Werder's concentration for him to really make a difference. I think he will if he keeps it up.
Just attack that defence. So he knows that they're going to stand off him, and then they're going to commit a foul.
To be fair, the last twice he's received the ball, he's appeared off balance, which may have lended itself to him getting the result, the free kick rather. But
go on!
But yeah, he seems to be a real handful. For them. When they get the ball, you can see they're worried.
That is how good Luca Bacchio is.
To see the numbers they went forward with there, the transition from defence into attack that Fortuna used is incredible. And they have players overlapping in every position going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they can't do anything about Luca Bacchio in this game, and Shaheen is just forced to just like trying to kick him, and he's not a defensive midfielder, so it's just really crude. I mean, it's Werder desperately need a defensive midfielder going forward, because they've got Klaassen and they've got Shaheen, both of which are very, very cultured, fine footballers, but you know, they're just going to get themselves booked if they're trying to handle, you know, inverted wingers coming in through the centre. I mean, Fortuna have got their tactics absolutely nailed down on this. If it wasn't for that VAR penalty, I mean, like, this result wouldn't be in doubt, I don't think.
If this team in red were Bayern?
Well, I'd hate them. But, I mean, you know, they're playing like a top-flight football team, which, for a team that was tipped to be relegated at the start of the season, you know, is astonishing, really. And they're extremely well-coached.
Incredibly confident as well, and I think that they're confident in their tactics, they're confident in their ability, and they absolutely should be, because they're really, when they want to pull forward, they pull forward, when they want to defend, they do it really well, as you said, I think that the penalty was unfortunate. Of course, we haven't seen the referee's the replay that the referee has, but I know it sounds pretty one-sided, but to be fair, it has been.
Do you know the story of the coach of this team? His name is Friedhelm Funkel, and he got them up rather unexpectedly. It's a fairly unremarkable coach, if truth be known. Yeah! What a goal! What an absolute goal! Cracking! Cracking goal! The score of the second goal! Karaman puts in a fantastic cross from the right wing. Oh, and it's not on the volley. 3-1 Fortuna!
Jesus, that was sweeping attack, counter-attacking play.
All started by Luca Bacchio, the number 20, who won the ball in his penalty area and then moves the ball forward. Absolutely superb.
And this swept forward, as I was just explaining just before it happened, swept forward. Everyone just the fitness these guys have to overlap in the areas they do and just create the chances. The ball went out to the right and it swept in. Beautiful aerial interception to put it in. This side is seriously good and knows it's seriously good.
And yet they're Fortuna Düsseldorf.
Yeah.
But they're playing with the brakes off. They are playing completely.
Yeah.
Look at the one touch. Yeah. It just, and when it doesn't work, who cares?
Who cares
if it doesn't work?
I mean, in fairness to them, they are playing with freedom because they know that their season is over. I mean, they can enjoy themselves. And it's Werder who have to do all the heavy lifting because they're the ones looking for European qualification. Fortuna can just, like, you know, enjoy themselves. And they really are. And it's credit to the...
Well, listen to them.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It has been a spectacular. I mean, well, starting in the first minute,
yeah.
When Fortuna scored within seconds of the start,
yeah,
we were still finding our seats.
We were indeed,
or turfing people out of our seats. But by the way, this content is totally going on our podcast, not yours.
Oh yeah, no, I'm aware of that. Who had won him?
Tom, how many balls are we on?
Well, it's 4-1 now, and the home crowd are, as you can imagine, jubilant. But this Fortuna side, Terry told us that this Fortuna side were lucky to stay up. Like they were stealing a living in the Bundesliga.
I never said that.
I mean, I think that was what our listeners and what I interpreted from your words.
Well, you can interpret what you like, but I certainly never said anything of the kind. I must confess I wasn't expecting this at all. I was expecting something a little bit more agricultural, but this has been, you know, a masterclass in football and also in coaching. They've been superb. It's interesting because, I mean, I think when they get the ball, And when they want to, Werder, I think player for player, are the better team. I mean, in actuality, I mean, they're not. I mean, but Fortuna have earned this 4-1 scoreline and absolutely outright. There's been no luck. In fact, it should be 4-0, really. If you are like us and are opposed to VAR, it would be 4-0, and they would be good for it. So, I mean, it's been a superb to see a good team playing with a handbrake off, unlike Werder, who, you know, don't in any way warrant any... Who, as I speak, Max Cruz has just actually got a really, really good save out of their keeper, who made this fantastic double save earlier on. So, I mean, Werder have got back into it as Fortuna have sat back more. So, I mean, Fortuna, Werder are now getting a lot more possession. And we're seeing, you know, that they are actually a good side. But interesting, the guy who's just on the ball there now, Rashica, I'd heard really good things about him and I'd seen some good things about him on the telly. But, I mean, yeah, he's been a frustrated figure, I believe, is the parlance for that sort of thing. Number 11 playing as a striker or a left winger or a right winger, but really not really playing anywhere.
Frustrated figures across the park, really, for Bremen. I think, like, all right, going down a goal down after a minute is always going to knock you back on your heels, and really, like, European football, it's more of a like to have than a really. We are in the key driver's seat for this because they're what, eighth at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah,
there are
right.
teams above them.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they do look like the ones who are thinking. Well, everyone else in my side should be better than what they're playing.
They look like it. They do look like a team that's coming towards the end of a very, very tough season. And really, I mean, you would almost think for a moment that Fortuna and Werder have swapped shirts, really. Whereas Fortuna are the guys playing with complete freedom, but they're the ones who've been having a relegation battle all season long. But now that battle is over and they can enjoy themselves. Whereas Werder, I mean, you know, they're playing very, very nervously. And I think I'll offer a hot take here, if that's okay, a Bundesliga hot take.
Go for it.
Well, I think that coach Florian Kohfeldt of Werder is a fine coach, and he won Coach of the Year in 2018, but he's a deeply, deeply intense man. He's quite a young coach, and I wonder whether or not his players are a little bit too highly strung, because they don't look like they're enjoying themselves at all. And I wonder whether or not the coach might reflect on his approach to dealing with players, particularly in moments like this, because this is poor from Werder, and they're better than this.
Yeah. At the moment, he stood on the very limits of the technical area, motionless. But as you would be, he's got no cards left to play, is he here? And really, we're seeing another counter attack now from Fortuna. And you can't help but feel that danger approaches, and that they are going to score, don't you?
Danger, Florian Kohfeldt. I mean, also it is at the same time in their defence is worth reflecting on the fact that the only player they got left on their bench, well, they have used all their subs, but like sitting on their bench at the moment is 41-year-old Claudio Pizarro, who is a Werder legend and a wonderful human being. But I mean, if you've got a 41-year-old striker on your bench, then that does also tell you about just what kind of depth you have as a team as well. But even still, you know, with Maxi Eggestein and Nuri Sahin and Max Kruse and Rashica, you know, on this pitch, you know, there should be we should be seeing a lot more from this Werder side.
If this game is to cost them European football, Terry, as you were saying, with the depth of the squad that they've got, the fact that they've got a journeyman, you might say, as their backup striker, if this costs them European football, this could be a blessing in disguise for them, really. You don't want to see them do they're clearly a gifted side, although they haven't really demonstrated it too much today, I think it's fair to say, but you would hate to see them do something like Burnley have done, for example, in the Premier League, where they've achieved or overachieved, however you want to term it, but actually the resulting season where they've made it into Europe, it actually destroyed the good work that they've built on. If it costs them European football, then it might allow them to rebuild a bit, you know?
I couldn't agree with you more on that. I mean, I think that what Kofeldt has done with Werder while he's been at the club, as he's really turned them around. And he's taken them from a big club that used to play Champions League football, who then plummeted into, you know, perennially struggling against relegation. And he's now made them relevant, and apart from, and this match notwithstanding, he's made them good to watch as well. I mean, he's made some good signings. They brought through good young players as well. They've done an awful lot right. And I think it's worth saluting them for that. But obviously today they've come up massively short to a team that, as you know, as we said before, they've played without any fear whatsoever.
I have to say, if they're on the off chance there are already Werder Bremen fans listening to this.
Hello, Nick.
Okay, there's more than one Werder Bremen fan listening to this. I have to apologise, I've been very disparaging about them. I'm sure they're a wonderful side. It's the first time I've seen them play. But it's also the first time I've seen Düsseldorf play. And I think they've been awesome. So,
they're your new German team, aren't they?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Sorry, this isn't helping, is it? No,
it's good. But this is how we start it every time. When we're in Grimm's studio, we always start laughing.
Starting, yeah,
we yeah. Do, yeah, this is how we
not usually have.
It's usually a laugh about airplane mode.
Welcome back to the Sound of Football. We are here in the suburbs of Düsseldorf. I think this is suburbs to the south of the main city. Well, this is Bilk. This is the student area of town, but we're here to watch some non-league football. We are, well, this is Oberliga football, which is level 5. And we're watching Turu Düsseldorf versus Union Nettetal. And as has been the theme of this weekend, there was an early goal. An early goal that we didn't see because we were at the bar. So yesterday we were arguing with Germans about whose seat was whose. It was ours, obviously. But today we missed it because we were at the bar ordering beer and enjoying the environments because they're brilliant. Now, we have an extra special guest today. Extra special because, and it's, his voice has not been heard on this podcast for 5 years now, I think it is, the last time you were on here. And it's John Hartley. Hello, John. Third time back on the pod. Good to be home, isn't it?
You have stats and everything. We got a nice Excel spreadsheet.
Oh,
no.
I totally do.
Oh, my Lord.
You know,
if you ask him nicely, he'll
now, let me see. Beer in hand, you guys in Germany. Let me think. Signal Iduna Park.
Yes, it certainly was. Right. Yeah, the beer garden out there. It was wonderful.
Yeah, you can tell he works for the Bundesliga now because he's saying Signal Iduna Park and not the Westfalen.
You got to be on brand.
What happened to you, man? You changed, man.
I know.
Hey.
Change.
Sorry. The good people at Signal Iduna pay a lot of money for that.
They do.
And I think we should respect them for that.
Take it back. Well,
if we're going to be, totally correct, Stadion Rote Erde.
Really? Of course, it was outside the Stadion Rote Erde.
Yeah. Well, this is the old stadium, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But that was
take it all back.
Well, listeners may not remember or may not have been around then, but last time we were here, we talked about the German football experience, about what it was like to come over here and luckily we had you as our Sherpa here to show us around, and we're old hands at it now, because this is, well, for you, you know, like Terry, how many times have you been to Germany now to watch football?
I don't remember. No, I'm serious, I don't remember.
You have lost count, haven't
I
you?
I have lost count. I've been many times. But I remember that one very well, because that was the time that I was momentarily mistaken for Marco Reus by a young lady. Momentarily.
Not a young lady.
No. I would say she was young. Shut up. Don't ruin my moment. Go on. Ask another question.
Well, Jan, this was your third time to come over to watch football over here. Your first time at somewhere that wasn't Berlin.
Correct, yeah.
But so, actually, we think you're on an upward spike on this one, because you fell in love with Fortuna's ground yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible ground. In my mind, I don't know, maybe because they're not one of the top sides in the division, and they just come up I was thinking that it was, I don't know, maybe a 20,000 seat or something, like, you know.
Yeah.
It was this absolute colossal coliseum.
Yeah.
Which was absolutely beautiful and very, I'd imagine, very intimidating. Well, clearly it was intimidating for the Werder players because they didn't turn up, whereas everybody in Dusseldorf did, and it was rammed. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I noticed, John, that there was loads of Werder fans there. Do you know if there's a big sort of Werder presence in Dusseldorf, or are they just everywhere?
Well, Werder fans are everywhere.
Yeah.
But they do have a fantastic travelling support.
Right.
The tradition of Werder Bremen, reflects a lot on that. The fact that, you know, during the 90s and the early 2000s, a very successful team, so they have fans everywhere. But a lot travel from Bremen every match day. I can only think that they sell out their allocation for every game.
Yeah, there was a lot of visible Bremen fans, but when they got their penalty, there was a hell of a lot more visible Bremen fans there. So, I mean, how many do Fortuna normally get? Because they had 52,500 yesterday.
It's wavered this season.
Yeah.
Earlier on in the season, the attendances weren't quite so good. But as the teams picked up, then attendances have risen steadily. So I would say probably since probably February, probably 45,000 plus,
wow,
I would say, per match day.
But really, when that place is full, it rocks, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's very enclosed.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is it's almost like they built a bowl of a stadium, stuck a box around the outside of it, which sounds a bit odd, but it works.
Yeah.
And actually, that's not actually that strange, because with Bayer Leverkusen, when they did their stadium redevelopment, probably about, I don't know, 12 years ago, because Leverkusen then went and played in Dusseldorf during that period. Terry's scratching his head. They did.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So when they were away from the Bayer Arena during that period, they played in Dusseldorf. Yeah. So essentially what Leverkusen did as well is they added some bits to the stadium and then almost stuck a roof on top of all of that. And it's the same in Bremen when they did their stadium redevelopment. It's like it's a shell, and pretty much most of the old stadium is inside. So it looks very futuristic and it looks brilliant, but there's an older stadium inside.
That's like the opposite of what's happened in Berlin, where you've got this old stadium on the outside and a new stadium inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Amazing. I've
never
stuff.
Actually thought about that.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well, as you may hear, the second half has kicked off here. We haven't missed any goals yet, but it's still 1-0 to Turu. So we're going to get back to the game. But for now, from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFilm, and from our guest, John Hoff, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Hello, and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFilm.
Hello.
And you join us here at the Merkur Arena here in Dusseldorf. The beautiful city of Dusseldorf, where we're watching Fortuna play. Where we're watching Fortuna play Werder Bremen, and currently halfway through the second half, they're 2-1 up.
Sorry.
See what I did was I record that, and then I put the bit in when they scored, and then
you're so good.
I know. It's all done in the editing.
It's like he's got that massively wrong. Ah, oh.
Ah,
that's
see.
Why I'm not the producer, and you are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all lies. Production is all lies.
Yeah, it's all lies, misinformation, misdirection. is a fair indictment of the internal workings of your mind.
Yes.
Yes.
It's taken you 7 years to work that out, hasn't it? 7 years of being on the podcast to work that out.
Yeah, yeah. That is accurate, yes.
Das heißt nicht, dass ich dem Fußball fernbleiben werde, aber ich muss gucken, dass ich meine Zeiten zu Hause ein bisschen präsenter gestalte, gerade dann, wenn mein Kleiner noch wach ist. Im Moment komme ich nach dem Training so um ca. 21 Uhr, 21.30 Uhr nach Hause, da ist er natürlich im Bett. Und in der Regel komme ich zum Training direkt von der Arbeit. Und das heißt, wir verpassen uns eigentlich den ganzen Tag. Ich bin jetzt 20 Jahre Trainer. Ich kann mir nicht vorstellen, dass das eine Sache ist, die auf Dauer passieren wird, aber für den Moment ist es für mich das Richtige.